The CMO Confidential Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
Welcome to CMO Confidential, the podcast that takes you inside the drama, decisions, and choices that go with being the head of marketing. Hosted by five-time CMO Mike Linton.
Welcome, marketers, advertisers, and those who love them, to Chief Marketing Officer Confidential. CMO Confidential is a program that takes you inside the drama, the decisions, and the politics that go with being the head of marketing at any company in what is one of the most scrutinized jobs in the executive suite. I'm Mike Linton, the former chief marketing officer of Best Buy, eBay, Farmers Insurance, and Ancestry.com, here today with my guest, Sean Peters. Today's topic, a report from the media front lines. Now, Sean has been in the media business for nearly 20 years, having started with Publicis right out of college. He has served as EVP and COO of Zenith, and CEO of Publicis Collective. Currently, he's the Chief Strategy Officer of Publicis Media. Full disclosure, I have known Sean for many years as he ran the farmers business for Zenith, and he is an exceptional strategic thinker. He is in my Media Hall of Fame. Welcome, Sean.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I'm really happy to be here, and thank you for taking this risk and inviting a media person to a conversation like this one.
Yeah, well, you know, we like to take big risks on the show, so we know this is a huge one. So why don't we start, Sean? Give us a quick overview of the media marketplace and what you are seeing today.
Yeah. So what I would say is, as we look at the media marketplace and kind of as you set up and talking about where things in the CMO suite are highly scrutinized, getting a lot of attention, always challenged, I think that is probably incredibly representative of what we're seeing in the media marketplace today. There is incredible pressure on results, on performance, on outcomes, on everything that is measured, on all the things that, you know, want to be measured but historically haven't been. And so what I would say to describe it in kind of one word is incredibly dynamic. I also think as we think through, where media has been and where it's going, it's never been more important for marketers to be able to understand exactly what they're getting from an investment in media than it has been today. So that dynamic in the marketplace is also adding to some of the scrutiny that is being felt by CMOs, et cetera, like you just mentioned in your preamble.
Thanks. I want to talk about the long-term and short-term impacts of this in a minute, and also add in one of our earlier guests described the current media market along the lines of a chaotic revolution. And what's your thinking on that? We're talking about, in addition to all the pressure on costs and also short-term results, you got mergers, startups, changing of the guard, generational change. Tell us about your take on all that.
So that's a fun descriptor of what's going on in the world. Absolutely. I might say that a lot of the chaos that is being driven is not just call it marketplace facing chaos with mergers, acquisitions, things like that. One of the biggest fundamental imperatives now in making sense of that chaos and those dynamics is truly the intersection of media and data. And it used to be that it was enough to have just, quote, media data. But now when I say that intersection, it's media data, knowing creative data, knowing production data, knowing business outcome data. So that chaos actually can be overcome. But the problem is you kind of had to start down that path years ago to be able to not have it be a chaotic today.
I mean, look, I can make a case, and Bob Leodice of the ANA said the technology is actually outpacing all the users, and the data following along on the technology, therefore, is you can't even process it. It's coming so fast. Let's talk about what you mentioned in your opening comments about media measurement and analytics. What are you seeing there that's working and not working, and you know, the concept is great. The execution is often really hard, particularly if you don't have a lot of good analytics and a lot of good data stacks and measurement. It's a bear to actually take this stuff. What are you seeing here? And tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that there's kind of a bifurcation in the way data and media are intersecting. On the one side, it's easier to measure data connected to media than it ever has been before. And what I mean by that is there's such a huge exhaust in data because all of the, you know, our partners and our media providers have really had a rush to say, well, we need to be able to give some new higher level of reporting, some new higher measure of X variable because people are asking for data. That's the one kind of side of things. But the other side of things is actually that as you're just looking at the things that can be measured, and many times we're overpassing the things that should be measured. And the intersection truly is, how is that data being organized and centralized in a way that you can have a high value data asset that is not just the things that media provides, but truly goes into and connects with a much broader ecosystem.
Let's talk about that, because this is a last click problem writ large, because what you also are seeing is people taking the data as this is it, when in a lot of instances, this isn't it. This is just the data that's available. And it's like saying I worked out for 20 days and I finally got on the scale today and, oh my God, I lost 20 pounds today. How do you stay in front of this process, both as an agency like yours or as a marketer?
Yeah, I mean, I think what needs to really happen in this, and I know it's going to sound like a super simplistic answer at first, but I'll make sure that we describe a little of the complexity of it, is you have to take a step back in figuring out what are the things that are going to be imperative to your business that need to be measured, and then flow back from that all the way upstream. And I'll give you one example, like to your point.
About, yeah, give us a live one.
Sure. So to your point about like last click measurement. So last click measurement, did a consumer click on something? We all know that there's, you know, a debate about multi-touch, you know, econometrics.
Attribution.
Yeah. But then what you also need to do if you really want to create a high value data asset is you can't just start with like, okay, I delivered this ad, or even I delivered this ad to this person. The ad that you delivered needs to know that you delivered this ad for a specific product. That product needs to be associated with a specific brand. That brand likely is associated inside of an organization to a specific division, and then ultimately to another parent within the company. That ad that you delivered also needs to be connected to a specific ad. That ad has to have specific dimensionality to it. It needs to know it had this offer. It needs to know it has this tone. It needs to know it had this music bed in it as one kind of like long tail example. But if you're not starting with what are all of the things that need to be measured and how am I actually creating business rules and logic against the way that that data is processed, by the time you get to a last click ad, it will have no meaningful outcome or optimization criteria except how do I get more clicks?
No, I totally agree with this. And then everyone's optimizing this bottom of clicks. How many companies are actually doing this right in your mind? What percent?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is it varies, and I know that's easy, but
I know what you want to say. It's not that many.
Yeah, and it is a joint responsibility, and that's part of why, you know, having a media agency partner is critical, is because there's a lot that companies can do, but there's also a lot that agencies need to do. This has been something, you know, if you were to have talked to me, you know, when I was 13 or 14, you know, and I wanted to be a professional hockey player, I would not have thought that the passion for connecting data would be such that it is in my life right now. And I probably would have been highly judgmental of the person. But what I would say is that we've seen with, you know, some of our most progressive clients that particularly as we're starting to get into a world where, you know, now the use cases for AI and some of the more, you know, bigger machine learning models, what people are going to find quickly is if you haven't started down this path, AI is not actually going to help you. And that's because you can treat a large language model, or you can treat, you know, a very sophisticated machine learning algorithm to do something. But if the input that it's doing something on is wrong, it's going to spit out really wrong results. And the negative impact of doing that is actually much more significant when you have bigger and higher processing power, because you're not going to catch it until it's...
Yeah, you won't even see it. You'll have somebody applying the end of this and not thinking about the story. But you also just made a case, maybe, that bigger companies with more data and more assets and more talent who can rent the right vendors or the right agencies, there's going to be a gap between them and people that can't. Is that a fair assumption I'm making or not?
Yeah, I think so. Where large companies, you know, tend to need the most help is actually crossing across their internal silos. Yeah. And that's because large companies, depending on how they're structured at a divisional, at a brand, at a product level, sometimes there's a lot of uniqueness that has been, for all the right reasons, happening in each of those individual verticals. And so when I say silos, I don't mean that, like, you know, silos are always bad. In many cases, they were the genesis for a lot of growth because you could be highly specialized. What now needs to be happening, particularly for, you know, a lot of our partners that are looking at things like portfolio optimization, those types of things, you know, ROI, growth, those, a lot of those historical, separations that served a really smart and strategic purpose now need to kind of be at least undone from a data front, so that way that can actually be democratized and bigger organizational decisions can be made off of it.
Without a doubt, one of our other guests said, look, AI is not just a data or a tech problem, it's an organizational problem, and it's going to be organization that drives a lot of it. Let's pick up on this topic and shift it a little bit. We're just coming off it was going to be a recession, that maybe it's not. There was a revaluation of everything. We have COVID, we have non-COVID, we have all this other stuff. There was a growth at all costs time, especially in B2B, where it was like, we're in streaming and everything else. We're just going to grow. And then all of a sudden you've seen everything shift. And now it's like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to make money. What's happening? And, you know, that's putting a lot of the pressure on me, but I got this AI, I got this data, I got these choices. How is all this playing out? And is it hurting marketers or not? And how do they manage through it?
Yeah, I mean, what I would say on that is certainly some marketers have been disadvantaged by the changes that are happening. But as I would say, kind of on the spectrum, the most progressive marketers are actually finding some opportunity in that. And that's because what we are definitely seeing is some distinction and some first mover advantages in, again, the benefit of having. And the reason I'm saying this a little bit, specifically is because, like, you know, you and I were talking about this, you know, for years when we worked together. Yeah. This has been kind of a passion. We're now actually seeing some faster, competitive advantages being realized, because as these changes are occurring, those that have some of the stronger foundations in place or are building them now at a more accelerated pace are actually able to take advantage of some of those, like, you know, white spaces in the marketplace where you don't have to just move from fad to fad to fad. Instead, right, you can actually move on the things that you can empirically measure and denote are driving a better business outcome.
Yeah. And just for our listeners, Sean and I did some, a lot of early data experimentation under the theory that if you got practice, you were going to be a lot better. And if you were first, you could move into some of those white spaces. So tell us also, you know, you're probably sitting there looking at brand safety, socio-political issue, the elimination of cookies and everything else. What should marketers be thinking of that?
Yeah, that stuff? I mean, they're all... very important, kind of transformations that are happening. Obviously, brand safety is something that never should be taken lightly. You know, we went through a time where obviously there was, a huge influx of new capabilities to help with that. I think that is kind of, there's been some clear kind of emergent market leaders in partners that, you know, both agencies, advertisers, brands have, you know, kind of, you know, partnered up with to get that in a much better and in a much smarter space. But that's never going to go away. Brand safety is absolutely, you know, going to be incredibly critical. I also think as we look to cookie deprecation, it makes the connection of outcomes to known audience data even more important. You know, having that linkage, again, in a very, very hyper compliant and privacy safe way, is something that is better for a consumer. It's also better for a marketer. But the cookie deprecation side of you know, the business is something that marketers should have been planning for you know, several years.
They've been talking about it for, you know, our lifetime. So what's going to change in this? I mean, one of the things you can say is, look, brand safety is always going to be an issue, and you can be afraid of it, or you can have a plan for when it goes bad. And there's and you can be as close to the edge as you want, or you can be so conservative you're not playing with anything new. How should people be changing in that space?
One of the benefits to brand safety has actually been, call it like the proliferation of nonlinear content. So the good news is that
tell everybody just in your mind what nonlinear content means. So we
sure.
know.
In this case, I'm speaking specifically of, you know, video content that's not delivered through traditional linear television.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is because, you know, when linear TV was kind of at its zenith, there would be, you know, this idea that, okay, I'm buying this, I want to get more focused on an audience there, but you're still buying everyone. There's a lot of consolidation right. around what people are watching, you know, the record-setting numbers that Seinfeld did and those things. That was a very specific time for media where, you know, that was like a big way to get a scaled audience and experience. Then you had a time when social content was really being proliferated and generated. That's at the, you know, at the kind of early days of that is when brand safety was kind of at the height of, and I'm not saying that it's not a concern now, but that was at the height of, call it, it's like, you know, most concerning and most troubling time. Now, though, what we have is, we're actually able to now start talking to people more personally in the video content that they're self-selecting in multiple different ways. And what I mean by that is you don't have to buy just one program. Instead, you can think about, you know, video delivered programmatically, connected television, online video. Those become much more real and much more rich in the life of a consumer now. And so our ability to do that actually allows a very brand safe environment and also something that is much more personal and much more efficient than just buying a lot of broad linear video. That's not to say linear video doesn't have a place. It certainly does.
Still does, no matter what anybody wants to say, it still does.
Exactly. Certainly against like large product bases or large consumer bases. But I do believe that actually we've got some new avenues for brand safe content that are reaching scales and masses where some of, again, you can still be a risk averse advertiser and start finding people in very personal, high frequency environments in a way that doesn't require you to take risks from a brand safety standpoint.
And are consumers becoming more forgiving about brand safety violations or not in your mind?
I don't think you could make a blanket generalization like that. And I'm not saying you are, by the way. I'm just saying that the issue with brand safety is it's either brand safe or it's not. There's really not a gray area because depending on the product, depending on the category, anything that is not what within what the walls of what a brand deems as safe will have some inherent risk. And that risk at any point is too much to tolerate. So again, that's not to say you shouldn't be in places where historical brand safety has been an issue. It just means you have to make sure you have all the appropriate safeguards in place to do everything you can to mitigate it.
Hey, now let's shift this over to marketing specifically. You've interfaced with an awful lot of marketers and marketing departments. Give them advice in general and then in media specifically.
Yeah, what I would say is my advice in general and to media is to make sure that you're connecting the advice from media into the business. And what I mean by that is the biggest piece of advice, and you've obviously seen some things that you know, we've spoken about as an organization related to this, is that the ability to really double down on the creation and the alliance and connection with partners that can deliver you a high value data asset that becomes the foundation for your marketing is one of the biggest steps that any marketer is going to make in terms of accelerating their own transformation and their own growth, particularly as all of the landscape and industry changes take place. So my first advice is, it sounds terribly not sexy.
But the example I would say is, look, when we were working together, we had the creative agency and the media agency in the room at the same time, almost all the time.
Yep.
When media plans were presented or when creative were presented, because the belief was they're highly linked, that is not a standard thing. And what you're saying is you should maybe have even more people in the room than that.
And what you like in that example that you gave, you know, for when we were working together, you also tasked us with making sure that we were providing data that would be useful for creative optimization even then, as opposed to just data that would be some kind of an inference about what we're doing for media. And now that dynamic is becoming even more broad because media data needs to be connected to audience data, needs to be connected to platform data, needs to be connected to production data, needs to be connected to business data, because that then creates that asset that allows companies to actually start accelerating with these next generation of enablers that are coming, whether that's AI, you know, big machine learning algorithms, all of those things.
So we've talked about what marketers should be doing. What is the most common mistake you see marketing departments making right now?
I mean, any partner that we work with has yet to make a mistake. So I just want to say that. But if we were to say more generally...
Flawlessness.
Exactly. So, but if we were to say a little bit more generally outside the category, you know, of people that we've had the benefit to partner with, I think part of what, you know, it can be a very natural muscle memory is running straight to solutioning against an individual product without kind of taking the step back to the business fundamentals that you're attaching that solution against.
And can I call that short-termism, or what should I really call it? Like, put a label on it for
me. Some of it is short-term, but I think some of it is more, call it like a burden of focus. And what I mean by that is like, it's almost a hyper-focus to the detriment of the broader ambition that, that a marketer may have. And that's because, again, to your point, there's a huge amount of scrutiny. There's a huge amount of pressure. I have the utmost respect for my, you know, CMO friends and colleagues and partners, because there is that. But the best ones right now are taking a step back and saying, yes, here's how I solve that problem. But long term, that problem is a symptom of something that has happened much further upstream that I'm also going to provide a solution against.
Yes, I would call this rush to an answer, where the room decides the problem and gives the answer without actually really thinking how many other ways the problem could have been created. Exactly. Almost always one of the examples there for me is it's our price. We're just going to drop the price. And if the product is not doing well and sucks, the price isn't going to save you. Hey, let's shift this to careers. You rose to very significant leadership positions at a super early age. And you continue to spearhead innovation and leadership within Publicis. What advice do you have for folks starting their career in the agency business? What's some keys to success as you see them?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the agency business can be an excellent one. I'm obviously an advocate for it. It can also be very, very tough at times. I think what I have always done is follow leaders, not positions and not titles. And I have had the great benefit of working for my current boss for almost my entire career at Publicis in probably 15 different positions. And so the biggest thing that and again, part of this, I think you can plan for if you say, because there were times where I could have left to take a bigger title or, you know, X thousand more dollars at the time when I was junior, where that would have made a really appreciable difference. Yeah. But finding someone I had a lot of faith and trust in, and then following that person as they've risen through their career, has been hugely significant for me.
And he's been on our show as well.
Exactly. He's when I was trying to figure out if he was the one that talked about the chaos of the media.
No, it's actually Jack Myers that talked about that.
Okay. Before. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, he talked about a lot.
Another great sage media voice. But yeah, I think the biggest thing that I would say is if you find someone and you find someone that you look up to, someone that you respect, and you kind of let that be one of the big parts of your calculus and considering other careers, that is something that I think I owe the majority of my success to. Like I said, part of that is just luck. Part of that is also the intention to have not left and to think back on the times that I could have gone and then think about where I would have been in those places. I think in most cases, if not all, I would be very happy with you know, following that leadership and making my way there.
I'll also say one thing that you won't say, but you were always quite prepared.
That comes with the agency. Prepare to give up your 20s and your 30s. And then you can do some fun things that are interesting, but you gotta be willing to work. And that's I don't want to make that to be understated. You have to be willing to put in the hard work because you gotta be a partner to your clients. If you're not a partner to your clients and you're just someone who talks, you'll be found out very quickly for anyone like you or anyone else, you know, that's at a high level in marketing.
Thank you, Sean. All right, last question. It's a two-parter. You have to take one part or both. Your pick. Practical advice and or funniest story you would like to share with our listeners?
I mean, I have some really funny pitch stories and things like that, but given that we don't want to have like the, you know, explicit filter for, you know, like someone who slipped up and uttered an expletive in front of a large, you know, crowd of people, I think we'll keep it to practical advice. The thing that I would continue to harp on, and I will sound a little bit like a broken record here, is never discount the requirement for integration across what you do, even more now than ever. And what I mean by that is if you're an agency person, you have to start thinking through beyond whatever your role might have been. So if you're a strategy person in an agency and you used to be really good at strategy because you could have creative ideas and great thinking, that's excellent. Lean into that. But you're going to have to figure out what investment people do and specifically where the data and outcomes of what someone does connects to what you did. And the same thing goes for marketers. You have to look across some of those historical divisions that have served your organizations very, very well in a way that allows you to get ready for the next chapter of what has actually already arrived. And again, what, you know, in our case, we've had a great advantage on for doing it for quite a while, but that integration is never going to be more important. And everybody's talked about it, but it has to actually happen to get us to the next chapter of success.
I think that is a super way to finish the show. And what I heard you say is, look, the consumer is channel agnostic and all kinds of agnostic. The data is going everywhere. The organization should not be lagging that commingling of basically everything. So thank you, Sean, and thanks for listening to CMO Confidential. If you are enjoying our show, please like and subscribe. Look for our other shows on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube, which include Chaos in the Media Marketplace, A Media Maven Talks About the Marketplace, Protecting Your Business Integrity, Advice from a Chief Legal and Ethics Officer, and Is the CMO Job Headed for Extinction? Hey, all you marketers, stay safe out there. This is Mike Linton signing off for CMO Confidential.